What's good, football fans? Welcome back to the Fourth and a Mile podcast alongside my good friends, Brady, Bradley, and Jeremy. My name is Josh. We appreciate you all tuning in. Well, we are getting into the back nine of this NFL season, boys. How are we doing?
Doing great. It's kind of a win-win situation for us Vikings fans tonight. Either the Eagles lose and we get a game on them. Otherwise, we always take a Packers loss, correct?
Oh, no question.
Yes.
Jeremy, confidence level going into tonight?
I have no idea where my confidence is, but I have zero expectations, so that's a great place to be.
Sometimes that helps. Then you can be pleasantly surprised, right?
The good news is that if Rodgers plays bad, he can blame it on his thumb.
And the injury sounds pretty brutal, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but the thing was, he was playing like dog water before the injury, too, so you can't use that as the excuse.
Yeah, well,
here we are.
Yeah. We're just rubbing salt in this wound right now. My goodness.
All right. 2 minutes
into the pod.
Let's go into some week 12 recap. I get the first game. We have three Thursday games. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Starting with Buffalo versus Detroit. Super entertaining game. We're doing what we did last week as well, which is the one big thing. My one big thing is Amon-Ra St. Brown for the Detroit Lions. He is back to his wide receiver one performing status. The last 3 weeks, 22.1 fantasy points, 15 fantasy points, and 27.9. Targets have been 11, 8, and 10. So he is back to that volume. You can probably firmly place him as a wide receiver one, I believe, for the rest of the year.
My question for you, and this is an honest question because I am an Amon-Ra fantasy owner in multiple leagues. What is your level of concern with Jameson Williams coming back?
I mean, I don't have much.
I mean, he's going to get in. Like, they need to know what they have with Jameson Williams in a season where they're not going to be more or less. I mean, they could be clawing back to wild card contention, but in this year, I feel like they have to know what they're dealing with. So, getting him 6-7 targets a game, I think, is in their best interest.
I totally disagree. I think they know what they have in Jameson Williams, that they don't want to rush him back. So they're not going to rush him back. They're not going to make him play 80% of the snaps. I could see him coming in just trying to get his feet wet, because as a rookie, you're still trying to get acclimated to the NFL life, and he really hasn't had that for the last 6 months. So I guess I tend to disagree. I think they're going to slowly move him in, because they traded up with a division foe to get into the top 15 for him.
Fair. But my thing is, I thought that's what they were doing this season, is just they weren't rushing him back, and they took their time to get, like, it's week 12 now. It's not like they rush to get him back this season. I feel like they did take their time, but I can see like the actual work in the offense and that being an acclimation process, not necessarily getting thrown into the wolves and getting 12 targets week one.
Fair. Let's move on to the next Thanksgiving game, New York Giants versus the Dallas Cowboys. Another really good game. I think we were blessed on Thanksgiving with some good football games. The one big thing for me is Zeke versus Tony Pollard. I think this is a weekly debate that we're going to have. Let's just break it down. Total touches, Tony Pollard 20, Zeke 17. Snap percentage, Tony Pollard again 59%, Zeke 51%. It's an interesting battle. For me, I think they're both top 20 to top 24 plays, no matter who they play. If I had to lean which one I would prefer out of the two, it would be Zeke Elliott. And it's more so for touchdown upside, because when it's goal line time, it's Zeke time.
He just doesn't have the explosion of like a 70-yard touchdown run, which is fine. James Conner today was still productive without having an explosive like running back. So like I agree with you. If you're going for like DraftKings or like DFS stuff, I would prefer Tony Pollard. But year long, I agree that Zeke probably rest of the year is a safer bet, because they're going to be running the football.
Yeah, it's just crazy how many touches they're giving to the running back position in general. Like, I think that it's crazy that, in modern NFL, that two running backs are being, like, very viable. And I think that's something that we would not have envisioned going into the year.
Yep, totally agree. Take us to the Thursday night game.
Absolutely. So, we're staying in the flames here with another awesome game. We had New England and Minnesota. And one thing that I thought was really interesting is Ramondre is just getting so many targets. Over the past six games, he's averaging over seven targets a game. And that's something that I think, like, we thought we knew before the start of this year, but, like, it's great to see that confirmation play out this season. And dare I say, he's knocking on being a guru.
He really is. And it's fun to see. I did trade for him in a league for his guru status. So if he continues to do that, good signs pointing ahead. One thing with Mondre that's super beneficial is that even in negative game scripts, he is the guy. We saw last week against the Jets, they scored three offensive points and he was still productive from a fantasy perspective. So Brady and I talked about it last week. He's incredibly safe, which is, you want that, but he also has the boom capability.
What was New England doing on Thursday night? Why did they start with Damian Harris?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. That was weird, but he only had five carries and Ermandre.
He got hurt though. So that's where I was fair. Intrigued by it. I still think it's Mondre for the rest of the year, but Jeremy, what'd you think?
Yeah, I was just going to add that, like, you know, Josh said that's kind of what we maybe thought, but I think what a lot of us thought was it was going to be an either or. It was going to be, he was going to have the receiving work or he was going to be, you know, the first couple downs, but right now it's both. Now, obviously, yes, Harris has been in and out of the lineup, but I think even when Harris has been a little bit healthy, he's been the guy. So he's definitely, I would agree, safe. Moving on to, I get to follow up those three games with Denver, Carolina. So
nice.
Couple different directions you could take the one big thing here. You could go the Sam Darnold route, but I just feel like I need to say this. So this is the one big thing. If you consider trusting Russell Wilson ever again, whatever you do, just don't do it. I think Bradley mentioned this on last week's episode. If he ever wants to go start of the week again with Russell Wilson, just don't do it. The offense is not good. I can't tell you. I don't know. Have they scored over 18 points the entire year? I don't.
They have. I believe it was, I think they've had under 17 for 9 weeks. I think that was the stat.
Regardless, it has been so underwhelming. They can't get anything working. Cortland Sutton at least has gotten away with just, you know, being targeted seven or eight times. That's resulted in, you know, 10, 11, 12 PPR points. But outside of that, there's really nothing else you can bank on with this offense. The defense is yelling at them. It's bad. It's all bad. I mean, outside of Cortland Sutton, I wouldn't feel good starting anybody. And really, Cortland Sutton is a flex play at best at this point.
Very much so.
I am a Nathaniel Hackett fan. I said in the offseason he was my number one candidate going like for a coaching job. I think he's got to go. You have defensive linemen who I've never heard the name of yelling at your star quarterback that just got an extension that you just traded the whole franchise for. That cannot happen.
What percent of the blame do you put on, like, how do you assign the blame to the season? Because it's been an absolute disaster. They put all their chips in. How much do you put on the coaching staff? How much do you put on Russell Wilson? How much do you put on maybe the ancillary pieces there in that offense or in that team?
I feel like I don't want to put a number on it. It's just so difficult because Russell Wilson's been terrible, but has it been Russell Wilson or has it been the system? Has the system been bad or has the quarterback been bad? It's just whatever has happened has not worked, even in the slightest.
You guys ready for a nice little self-burn here?
I like it.
We have had some very good takes on this show. We've had some very, very bad takes. Me picking Russell Wilson as the MVP is the worst take we've ever had. And I don't know if we can top it, to be honest with you.
I got a different
one. I think I got one.
Drew Lock being the next Patrick Mahomes.
Well, either way, I suck.
Hopkins being wide receiver 60.
Yeah, that's a bad one, too. He played today.
I still think Russell Wilson being MVP was probably about as bad as it gets.
I like that one big thing, Jeremy. Moving on to Tampa Bay versus Cleveland. My one big thing is Godwin is greater than Evans, ? The last 6 weeks, Chris Godwin's targets, 12, 13, 11, 10, 8, and 13. I'd be interested to know if you agree with the comment, Godwin is greater than Evans rest of year.
I don't know if I agree with it, but if I had to pick between the two, I would take Godwin. I'm always in favor of the targets. Give me opportunities, whether or not they're deep passes, whether or not they're screens. And it's a pretty clear effort that when it's third down, Tom Brady's looking for Chris Godwin. He's finding number 14, whether he's in the slot, which most of the time he is. And he's kind of replaced that tight end figure that Tom Brady used to love all the time.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I don't know if I would necessarily – like, there's definitely a chance that Evans finishes with more points from here on out the rest of the season because he could have a week where he scores three touchdowns, you know, and catches one that's 60 yards. But I definitely would say Chris Godwin is the safer one for sure.
So he got hurt in week one. I would agree. Got hurt in week one. Since he was out for 2 weeks, out week two and three. Since week four, his lowest target was six, and he caught all six of those targets, and that was in week five. Otherwise, he's had more than eight every single game since week four. That's crazy volume. Hasn't turned very many into a touchdown, but that's neither here nor there. One last note, I will be interested to see how Cleveland looks next week with Deshaun Watson.
It'd be interesting. That's going to be incredibly entertaining.
Yep. It'll be all eyes should be on that. Let's move to the next game, Jacksonville versus Baltimore. Probably the best game on Sunday, I would say. Just a phenomenal game. Let's start really quick just with an injury. Travis Etienne, foot injury. Really didn't play much after the foot injury. Didn't play at all after the foot injury, which happened earlier. Not sure what you guys have gotten for reports, but it sounds like he's probably going to play next week. Obviously, this is Sunday night, so we're not going to make the call right now. But according to what reporters said in Jacksonville, he's planning on playing next week, which would be awesome. My one big thing is Trevor Lawrence, the ultimate streamer, I believe. He had an awesome performance today, both in fantasy and in regular football. He continues to be that great streamer. 5 of 11 games this season, he's been quarterback 8 or better. Next couple weeks, he plays at Detroit and at Tennessee. I think Trevor Lawrence has an opportunity to be successful in those two matchups.
Look good. Yeah, I think it was awesome. I mean, we talked about him 2 years ago in the offseason when we're like, yeah, well, actually, we really didn't talk about him that much because he was all of our locked and loaded quarterback one. So Trevor Lawrence, we hope he can continue to do it for the rest of the year. But yeah, awesome to see against a pretty good defense in Baltimore. So good to see there.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that brings us to the next game, Houston-Miami. And one thing that I don't think we learned anything about Miami, I feel like Tua's been great. Wide receivers are good. They just got, you know, they bolt raced, so they didn't really have much opportunity to pass the ball. But I think the one thing that we
I've never heard that before. They bolt raced? What does that mean?
You never heard that?
No.
That's definitely a saying.
That's 100% a saying. You're sitting there giving Devin Singletary Motor Singletary.
Oh, can you guys help us out with that? Is Devin Singletary's nickname Motor Singletary?
I definitely heard the motor.
Okay.
I have not.
Okay.
But Miami was boat racing Houston. And so the one thing that I think we learned was that I don't know if Damian Pierce can be able to sustain the Texans anymore this year. Like the beginning of the year, we were getting tons of touchdowns. That's something that we were able to basically count on. And it just doesn't seem like that's happening anymore. I feel like defenses are really locking into Pierce and that the efficiency that was, you know, coming and going earlier in the year is just not, it's just not coming back. So I'm pretty scared for him rest of season. I don't know if I'm alone on that, but I just think defenses are saying, hey, you know what? We're going to make the passing game try to beat us here. Let's see if you can do it. And it's not working.
I agree with you.
I mean, what the heck is he supposed to do down 27-0 or whatever, 30-0 at half? My goodness. But I'm not going to hate the talent. The team stinks. It's bad. They're not the fan favorite. We benched Davis Mills for Kyle Allen? Come on.
Moving on.
Sure.
We'll move to the next one.
It sounds like Grady doesn't have any Damian Pierce.
They're not the fan favorite anymore, okay? They're not our fan favorite Houston Texans. We're done with them. We don't get to talk about them no more.
Still a top, you know, like 8 RB the rest of the season, but, you know, the goal line work didn't matter.
Well, the volume did matter, and he didn't get it, so.
All right, we'll jump to the Chicago New York Jets game. The big thing for me is there are now startable assets on the New York Jets. You guys might think I'm sipping the Kool-Aid here, you know, recency bias, whatever you want to call it, but I think Garrett Wilson can be a wide receiver too, rest of the season. Like I mean, he was targeted 8 or 9 times. I get it. It's the Chicago Bears. Okay. But this is a guy who they drafted high, see a lot of potential in. I think he'll get 8 to 10 targets rest of the season, like on average. This is a guy I think you can start and feel confident in if Mike White continues to be the quarterback. Elijah Moore could be a flex play. I think it's something to monitor. I mean, he's probably on a lot of waiver wires, and you can say what you want about it, but when was Elijah Moore really competent last year and relevant as far as fantasy output? When Mike White was the quarterback. He gets in the end zone today. They found him on a long touchdown pass. I'm not saying you need to grab him and put him in your lineup next week, but this is definitely somebody that I would pick up on the waiver wire. I actually, in a couple of my leagues picked him up prior to the game starting today, just in the hopes that that connection maybe was there. I get it. It was 2 or 3 targets, but he caught 2 of them, had 60 yards and a touchdown. So it's something that could stick around. It could stick around. They were up big. They didn't need to keep throwing the ball. So watch out.
Did you see that move he put on the Garrett Wilson had that really long touchdown and that juke that he had that. Disgusting. Oh my God. That was just absolutely insane. And I looked up in the dictionary, got juice, and turned out it was just Garrett Wilson's face planted on the page. So really fun to watch.
I don't get the reference, but anyways, he plays the Vikings next week and you can feel a lot. You can feel a lot more confident playing him.
I think you're sipping on the Elijah Moore juice.
You can definitely pick him up though.
100%. I agree, but I would not play him until he has another double digit point week or at least like an 8 to 10 target week.
That's fair.
Because he only had 2 targets. We'll wait for the percentage to go around, but I'm pretty sure he was under 40% snap percentage.
He definitely wasn't in the game much in the early going. That's for sure.
We'll see how it plays out. He's definitely interesting.
Cincinnati versus Tennessee. This one was me. A future playoff game, maybe, on our hands. Two very good teams. My one big thing here, and it's not good because I just traded for this guy. Is there a reason to be concerned for Derrick Henry? I know I'm probably overreacting, but his last 3 weeks, he has been extremely inefficient on the ground. And I don't know if it's because of him, but it's because of how defenses are playing them. Last 3 weeks, 2.79, 3.11, and 2.24 yards per carry. That's not good. He's kind of been, I guess you could say, bailed out by some long catches or like a touchdown pass or touchdowns on the ground. So I would like to see him get a little bit more efficient. But teams are daring Ryan Tannehill to beat them. So we'll see how it goes. But my one big thing is that I'm a little concerned about Derrick Henry's inefficiency. He's got some good weeks coming up in the playoffs, Jacksonville, the Chargers, and Houston. So obviously you're not cutting or trading him, but you just like to see him get a little bit more efficient because he is getting the volume.
I would agree that you'd like to see him be more efficient, but like theoretically, I know you can't do the ifs in fantasy football, but theoretically, he should have had 20 fantasy points today. He fumbled on the 1 yard line on a breakaway touchdown catch. Obviously, you don't get those 7 points, or 6 points. But he is still a very good fantasy asset. I think he is probably a top 3 to 5 running back, and you feel really good no matter who you're playing.
I just saw the soul leave Brady's body when you said that he fumbled at the 1 yard line.
It's just in my feelings right now, okay? I'm in my feelings. He's had some inefficient games.
Oh, and, I know.
So ever since didn't have any shares, traded for him, he's obviously still been good. Like he had 13 fantasy points. You're not going to cut him after that, but I wanted more, okay?
Yeah. Philly next week, too, is not exactly.
No, it's not. Yeah. All. So. If you're looking to trade for him, I don't know if trade deadlines have gone in your leagues, but I would trade for him after these inefficient games. But, he's going to have some good playoff matchups.
Yeah, Atlanta, Washington, talk about fighting for a playoff spot. These two, I can't believe they're actually in contention. The one big thing for me is, did Scary Terry lose his bite? Very inefficient. last game with a touchdown was week 7. He has only had one game this season as a WR1, and he has under 5 catches in the last 2 weeks. So we all talked about Heinicke becoming this quarterback and really just uplifting Terry McLaurin. Really haven't seen it consistently. I'm wondering how concerned you guys are with Terry McLaurin.
I just think you need the touchdowns in order for him to be a guy that you're really happy with at the week, because Heinicke is, I mean, he'd be thrilled to get 200 passing yards a week or at this point. Like, he's just not getting the passing yardage that you need to be able to sustain.
Quite he's not a good quarterback. Let's just,
I mean, he's not. No, he's not. I don't like him. I really don't.
Which is an unpopular opinion.
Yeah. A lot of people like him. I'm not a huge fan either.
No, but, I just don't think the yardage is going to be there for Heinicke. And so that, how that would then relate to Scary Terry is, like, today, like, he had 48 yards. So you're not going to be happy with that unless he's getting in the tub in this week,
which he has done twice this season.
Right. So it's just not something to be excited about.
Bradley, would you like me to add him to Stash or Trash?
Please.
Okay.
No, you're not trashing Terry McLaurin.
Correct. Yeah. And so then that brings us to the Chargers and Cardinals game, which was an incredibly fun game. There are lots of scoring, and Chargers ended up coming out on top. And the one thing for us, I think, is DeAndre Carter, you know, league winner potentially, ended up leading the Chargers in targets with 10. Keenan Allen, obviously, is getting back into the picture with 7 and got in the end zone as well. But curious what you guys think about Carter and the fact that he had 73 yards, got in the end zone. I know, like, once some more receivers get healthier, like, it's going to become, you know, as my phrase, a little bit more slices of pie in that offense being cut out. But looked great, got in the end zone. What do you guys think?
I have zero interest in DeAndre Carter. Apologize. Don't mean to ruin your parade, but I have zero interest.
It wasn't necessarily my parade. I was just trying to gauge the room because,
to be honest with you, I think right now without Mike Williams there, I still think he is the fourth option. He had a great game today and he's popped off for some long touchdowns. But consistency wise, I would much rather take Josh Palmer. And you have to factor in that Keenan Allen is now healthy and that Austin Eckler is obviously a threat with 15 targets.
My
in the passing game.
Goodness. Yeah. It's
insane.
So I was doing some prep for the episode and was literally putting down, like, oh wow, Eckler really struggled. He had like 8 targets, and then I go and, you know, eat dinner and then come back and he has 15 targets and just
absolutely, he only had 5 carries, which is crazy.
I know it's absolutely incredible. He's a pretty good fantasy football asset, I would say.
Certified stamp lock and load guru.
He is. Oh, he is the captain of the squad.
Okay. Raiders Seahawks.
Game just finished
a little while ago.
Well, sorry, what did you say?
I said the game just finished a little while ago.
I got you. Sorry.
No.
I made a comment to it.
Nope,
So I had this written down before the game finished a little while ago due to a big play by Josh Jacobs. But it was Josh Jacobs is that dude. If you have him on your roster, you held on to him through the deadline, or maybe you got him at the deadline, you may have the fantasy MVP on your team. He continues to produce, and he is the guy. Like, he's the guy. It used to sort of be maybe there was somebody else eating into his carries a little bit, not really used much in the passing game. He's the guy. They're giving him to he had 33 rushing attempts. Yes, I know there's overtime involved in that, but he had 230 rushing yards. I think he finished with after the long play, or 229, yep. 2 scores. He was a guy that I was thinking maybe you want to trade away at the deadline because you could get a haul for him. I hope you didn't. They're going to keep using him. They're going to keep riding him the rest of the year. Josh Jacobs.
Do you guys remember?
He had 7 targets too. So sorry, Bradley. He had 7 targets, which is equally as impressive as the 33 carries.
Do you guys remember in the Hall of Fame game, the very first preseason game, when Josh Jacobs was taking carries into the second quarter, and we're all like, "Are they cutting Josh Jacobs?" No, nah, they were just getting the stallion ready for the season.
Apparently.
An absolute freak. Like, what an insane, like, because I feel like the thought process with him in preseason was, like, pretty down. Like, people were not excited to draft Josh Jacobs this past year. And it's just, in my opinion, more or less came out of nowhere and absolutely shining.
For sure.
I think more than one of us, or at least one of us, had him on a do not draft list.
Me, for sure.
I know.
Could have as well.
Yeah, I know we weren't as collectively as a group that high on him.
When you think about it, preseason, right? They're a team that is going to try to be in a lot of shootouts. They just signed a top 3 to 5 receiver. You think that they have a top 3 tight end, they're going to throw the ball over the field. And Josh Jacobs is not a receiving back. So it's not Zamir like it was a bad White. Process. Like, it just came out of nowhere.
Zamir White scared a lot of people too, which obviously it makes sense. Like, that, you know, they put draft capital into the position, but just clearly that they said, we don't care.
Rams Chiefs. My one big thing is you just can't trust anyone on the Rams the rest of the year. Matthew Stafford, most likely out for the year. That was the report today, which means Cooper Kupp is out for the rest of the year. Kyren Williams had more carries than Cam Akers today. Van Jefferson led him in targets. No Allen Robinson today. You can't play anyone on that team. So I just think you can't trust anybody on the Rams. And while I think that the Chiefs are good too, you can't really trust any of their receivers outside of Travis Kelce either. So kind of an interesting fantasy game for that day or that team.
It really was, and they were very inefficient in the red zone, which is kind of atypical, but they still found a way to get a win. So I guess you live and you learn. Last game on the slate, New Orleans versus San Francisco. Wow, San Francisco's defense is very, very good. The one big thing for me is not super Kamario Bros. Alvin Kamara, since week 8, has had no more than 12 carries, no more than 42 rushing yards in a game, and has had 0 rushing touchdowns. The only reason that Alvin Kamara is like an RB2 is because of his receiving capability. He's getting targeted quite a bit, but as far as a rushing potential, he is not doing well. And I guess I'm just wondering how concerned you guys are with Alvin Kamara.
Extremely, because I feel like if he didn't have that 38 point game, in week 8, we'd be talking about him being a low end RB2 right now.
Correct. Jameis Winston needs to come back.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What are we waiting
for? I feel so bad for, because he did, like, he stayed a year, took a backup contract with Drew Brees, basically, all right, as soon as he leaves, I'm going to be the starting quarterback. And then he basically just doesn't get that role. Like, that just, I feel really bad for the guy.
And there's pain everywhere.
Yeah.
But we got to keep pushing.
He hasn't had over 42 rushing yards in 5 games.
That's not good.
That's wild. I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah. Not good. So let's talk some flex or fade. Flex or fade, we did this last week. Reminder, if you agree with it, you flex on it. If you don't agree with it, you fade it. Bradley, you ready to go?
I'm ready to go. The first one's T. Higgins versus the Kansas City Chiefs. 16.5 PPR points or better. Just for context, in the last 5 games, he is averaging 15.38 half point PPR points per game.
Flexing on this one.
I think I'm going to fade. Because I think Ja'Marr Chase is coming back next week. So I think that's going to eat into the target share a little bit of him. So I'm going to fade, but just barely. I do like that line.
I'm flexing against the Chiefs. It's probably going to be a shootout. I think I would want anybody in this game.
Jeremy, you're flexing as well?
Yep.
3-1. We're all flexing on him because we got the majority. Next one is Jeremy's guy, Aaron Jones. We have not seen him play on Sunday night, so obviously pending an injury. This is the line. Aaron Jones at Chicago next week. RB7 or better. Out of the last 5 weeks, he has achieved this twice.
I will fade this one.
I am fading that as well.
I think he will be an RB1, but I think somebody else will pop off.
I'm going to flex on it.
I'm also flexing.
I'm shocked.
Next one is like Jamal Williams versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, a running back one. So RB 12 or better. He has done this two of the last 5 weeks.
Man,
I will flex on this one.
I'm also flexing.
I'm going to fade too. I just think that he's so touchdown dependent. And while he's been incredible in that respect, that if he doesn't get those touchdowns, then I feel it's going to be incredibly difficult for him. But so I'm fading on this. Becker looks to be deep in thought right now.
I am also going to fade.
Welcome. All right. Team. Nick Chubb. He plays at the Houston Texans. 115 rushing yards or better. He has done this 4 out of 11 weeks this season.
Flex.
Well, to the gun show, boys. Flex.
We're flexing. You said 215. I'm still flexing.
Oh, goodness. Next one, TJ Hockenson, tight end for the Minnesota Vikings, playing against the New York Jets. Tight end 9 or better. Just for context, this season he has only done that 3 times, albeit he has been with the Lions for half the season.
I'm going to flex on this. I think that Hockenson has been spectacular in the Vikings offense. And if the Jets are going to, if their offense is going to move the ball like they did, you know, and especially against the Vikings defense, we're going to have to throw the ball quite a bit. And so I do think Hockenson is going to do better than tight end 9.
I'll flex.
I'm going to flex as well, just because I don't think it's that high of a bar to achieve.
And Sauce going to be covering JJ.
That's a really good touchdown.
Yeah.
No flex.
AJ Brown, wide receiver, Philadelphia Eagles, playing against the Tennessee Titans. Wide receiver 13 or better. He has done this half the times this season, 5 out of 11.
Wow.
Flex for me against his former team. They're going to get him the rock.
That is a great point. Revenge game season. Flex.
So good point. I'm also going to flex. Jeremy, did you say flex as well?
Yep.
4 flexes. All right. Mike Evans is our last one. He plays against the New Orleans Saints. If you remember, he was ejected from this game last time. Wide receiver 14 or better. Surprisingly, he's only done this 30% of the season, 3 out of 10 times.
Fade. For some reason, he loses his mind when he plays Lattimore. I don't get it.
That's such a good point. See if he makes it to halftime.
I put fade because I don't know if he'll make it through the game.
He just loses his mind.
It's just incredible. Bro,
that's Tom Brady. What you want me to do? I'm also going to fade.
Okay, good segment. Let's take a quick break, come back and do week 13 preview.
Hi, guys. This is Jeremy Becker from the 4th and a Mile podcast. Just wanted to thank you guys for tuning in and remind you to follow us on Twitter at 4th and a Mile Pod. That's 4th and a Mile Pod. Thanks, guys. And now back to the sports.
Welcome back into the 4th and a Mile podcast. Getting right into week 13 preview. Doing what we normally do. Waivers. We're doing our top 5 and then honorable mentions. So let's start with the honorable mention. Who is your honorable mention waiver target for week 13?
I don't know about you guys, but I think a little bit of a down week for waivers, in my opinion, unless I'm completely spacing over some. So maybe you guys give me some good insight. Honorable mention for me is Foster Moreau. Caught a touchdown today. Could be a good stream play.
I like it. I had Jermichael Hasty, running back for Jacksonville. I thought he had, you know, pretty decent amount of work and got in the tub in the receiving game. So depending on what game script looks like, he could get involved.
He was also my honorable mention.
We take those.
My honorable mention was Isaiah McKenzie. Had a good Thursday. If he can build on it too. I agree with Brad. It's kind of a down waiver wire week. So let's do number 5. Who was your number 5 waiver target?
I went with Zay Jones. He got targeted 14 times. He is very hot, cold. He has a good matchup against Detroit. I would look into getting Zay Jones, depending on your wide receiver outlook.
Yeah, I had Ty Johnson, running back for the Jets. Just in a similar situation, incredibly efficient, got in the end zone. So maybe could just build some momentum with Breece Hall not being there. I think that's just an option. And a lot of these, you're just basically throwing darts and hoping that you're getting maybe some sustained production for the rest of the year or just, you know, 1 week on a bye. So that's just kind of what we're looking for right now.
My number 5 is Elijah Moore for the reasons I already stated earlier.
So I have to admit, my number five was up higher until I realized that he got taken off a plane today. So Odell Beckham Jr. is my number five for waiver targets. Woof.
Not a good look.
Yeah, but he's gonna. If he goes to Buffalo or the Giants, I think he's a good play. I don't like him if he goes to the Cowboys.
What happened?
I don't know the full story, but apparently I think he fell asleep and wouldn't put his seatbelt on.
We don't know anything. It sounded I've heard multiple things, but I heard something about like he was possibly unconscious and they were worried about like his health, and then he refused to get off the plane. Don't know, but that's not what you want to be in the news about when you're trying to make it a free agent destination.
Yep. Number four.
Number four might surprise you guys, but I'm going to go with Jerick McKinnon. Six targets. That interests me. Obviously, he didn't have any carries. It's a great offense. He plays against the Bengals this week. I think it's going to be a shootout. Has an opportunity to be a nice little stream start for you.
He's my number four as well. He plays a lot of snaps, too. They get behind. Oh. He'll play more than Pacheco.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I actually had Zay Jones as my number four. Absolutely popped off and maybe developing a relationship with Lawrence.
My number four was Isaiah McKenzie.
Nice. Number three.
Number three for me was Jamichael Hasty. We don't know what Travis Etienne's going to – his health is. If he plays, I hope he plays. I love Travis Etienne. But if he doesn't, like, Jamichael Hasty should be on a roster this week.
I actually had Mike White. So if depending on bye weeks.
Oh, good heavens.
Playing the Vikings. Mac Jones made the Vikings look so – he looked incredible against the Vikings. Threw for like 380 yards. So if this week is any indication, you could do worse. I'm telling you.
Brady just loses his mind.
Super flex, I'll give that to you. You pick him up in a super flex league.
Got it.
Yeah. My number three, and this could be a reach, used a healthy scratch today, but I don't know if that's just because he's still getting acclimated or what's going on. It's James Robinson with the Jets. I don't know. Michael Carter got hurt today. So
we should put him on stash or trash. Guarantee I'm grabbing the hefty bag for him.
That's why he's got waivers.
I have
the hefty bag.
I dropped it.
I'd say really it. Good. It's a dart throw. It's a reach. Though you ain't playing him unless you know that he's going to be getting the work.
Trash. So mine's a different Jet running back. Mine's Zonovan Knight. It's a rookie. They played him a decent amount today. He was one of the first ones up with Michael Carter in there. And Mike White loves to throw the running back. So if he's ever playing running back, you could potentially have value just because you get four or five targets.
Number two.
Number two is Paris Campbell for me. Not a great matchup next week, but it's more so after the bye. He plays Minnesota and the Chargers for fantasy playoffs. He's kind of a target machine. Very hot and cold, but I like his matchups. Depending on if possibly an injury or something like that, I think he should be on a roster.
That was mine as well.
My number two, you guys might think I'm an idiot, but I'm going to go with Daryl Henderson, Jacksonville Jaguars. If Etienne does not play, I think Daryl Henderson now has a week under his system and will be the running back over Jamichael Hasty.
Put some respect on Hasty's name.
You don't like that?
I like your rationale, something that really didn't cross my mind, but I don't think Daryl Henderson's that good. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Okay. Thank you for your input.
But it's no, honestly, it was good rationale though. Like he should be on a roster for the possibility of being a starting running back next week.
Completely agree.
So we all gave our number two. I'm assuming we have the same number one.
I have not given my number two.
Who is your number two?
You might think I'm nuts, but it's Kyren Williams.
No, that's
what I think you're nuts.
I don't. He played more than Cam Akers today,
and he didn't look very good.
Well, nobody looked good there.
Like his first game.
Okay.
Third.
Hey, that's a mile man. I'm all in on that.
That is a mile man, and I do not think we all have the same because I definitely don't have what you have.
Samaje,
number one.
I have
Deshaun Watson. plays Houston. What are we doing, people?
That's a that's a great point.
That's a good point. I went with Trevor Lawrence.
Am I the only one that has Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I guess so. I
probably should have put him on there, but
I do like it. It's a good point. It's a
I have a name that's already been said, and you might think I'm wild for having him at number one, but it's Zay Jones. He's had 10 plus targets three of the last five games. Like, that's, you know, if you get hit by an injury bug, you know, you lose somebody unexpected, whatever, like, that's somebody that you can potentially plug and play if it you needed.
I think Jeremy is a pro Zay Jones guy. He's been on his waiver wires a couple different times.
Yes, you know, picking him up, dropping him, picking him up again.
I was gonna say, it's not a good say if you're riding the waves.
We call him kettlebell at this point, just for how much you're picking him up and dropping him.
It was okay. A good
stash.
That was not bad. That was not bad.
That was bad. Stash or trash.
I'm very happy with it.
James Cook, Bradley's had him on his waiver wire targets. He's got to be trash. I just wanted to make a point here. We're all trash, right?
I'm for sure stashing him. I'm for sure stash.
Motor Singletary.
Trash. Wait, Singletary is stash.
No, I'm saying Motor Singletary is there. That's why you're trashing Cook.
Yeah.
Yes.
One more week for Cook. One more week for Cook. One more week for Cook.
Gabe Davis.
Stash.
Stash.
He's frustrating to play, but it's a stash.
Get him the heck off my roster. Trash.
That's a bad take.
That's a good take. There isn't anybody out on waivers right now that I would take Treylon Burks over him.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Jacoby Myers. Trash buckets. He's gotta go. He's trash.
I'm gonna stash him.
Stash. Oh, it is weird, though, that they had a really awesome game and he wasn't all that, like, he was involved, but that's true. That's true.
I'll stash.
This one was personal. We're all stashing him, but it's Damian Pierce.
Did he just need a cathartic experience to put him on here?
Or? Yeah, he needed it. He needed it.
He needs a little kick in the rear.
Last time he was on Stash or Trash, he went nuts the last weeks and was like the RB1, so...
So this is you.
If I got to put him on here every single week. Yeah, I'll do it.
He's obviously stashed.
Stash.
Nico Collins.
Trash.
Stash.
I would stash. Stash. Get nine targets today.
Darnell Mooney. Stash. Trash. Trash. It's so trash.
I'm going to stash just because, I mean, I would probably take Zay Jones over him, Paris Campbell over him. So I guess in that sense you could say trash, but it's hard to tell without Justin Fields there.
He didn't have a target today.
He got hurt, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't finish.
But he was terrible. Cordarrelle Patterson. You got a stash, but you can't feel good about it.
You're not playing him.
The 2 seconds of just pause is all you need to know about that answer. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's a stash.
Kyren Williams.
You stash him.
You know my answer?
I would take Jermichael Hasty over him. I would take Jerick McKinnon over him, I think, as well.
Yeah.
For sure next week.
I would stash. I have him on my roster. I'm going to stash him. Let's do starts of the week. Josh, you get to lead us off.
I do. And honestly, your comment with Deshaun Watson, it's not changing my mind, but it was about to. My quarterback start of the week this past week, was Joe Burrow. He needed to be top seven. He was not. So my
your start of the week was Tua.
It's very hard to read a doc, but yes, yours was Tua.
Tua. That's yikes. The boat race did not help that cause whatsoever. He needed top seven. He finished 14. My quarterback start of the week this upcoming week is going to be Trevor Lawrence against Detroit.
And now he's cursed. Top 11. Oh, 10's good with me.
Brady did not need any additional motivation to put that on. I was going to say.
Okay, well, I went with Tom Brady. He is currently quarterback 12, need to be quarterback 11, so that's a miss. I had Trevor Lawrence as my first one because I had him as my first waiver. I don't think Josh had him on his waiver wire. But I will go with Dak Prescott versus the Indianapolis Colts.
Top 10.
Top 10. That's the number that was coming to mind. Becker, what say you?
I'm good with 10.
I'm here for that.
All right. My start of the week at the quarterback position was Justin Herbert. Needed to be top 8. Top 9. You bum. All right. My quarterback start of the week this week is the man who owns Chicago, and that is Aaron Rodgers.
Top 16.
Top 20, top 24.
I'm good with that line.
Top 11.
Yeah, 11's fine.
11. Just remember that, Jeremy.
Since Josh ruined my mojo, Joe Burrow was my start of the week, and he needed to be top 7. He was top 11. Thanks, Josh. I'm going right back to the well. I'm going Joe Burrow against Kansas City. He owns Kansas City. He did it at the end of the year last year. I'm going Joe Burrow versus Kansas City.
I just want to make sure that we understand. When I did this last year, I got eviscerated. But you're able to do this, though, go back-to-back, double-dip in here?
Yeah, we're going to do what the guys did last week. It's got to be top 6 now.
Yep.
I'm here for it.
He's going to do it, so that's fine.
All right. Well, my running back start of the week last week was Ramondre Stevenson. He needed to be top 10, and he's there right now. So it's not likely. It's not likely that he stays there.
No, we got Aaron Jones and we have Jonathan Taylor. He's a miss. And Miles Sanders.
I said not likely. I didn't.
It's a miss.
Okay, it's a miss. It's a miss. My goodness. All right. And my running back start of the week this upcoming week is Rashad White.
Who does Rashad White play, Joshua?
New Orleans.
16th.
Sure. I was going to say 14, but that's okay. 16's good.
So my running back start of the week last week was Jimmy Cook. He was not
good. That was not funny. Why is that?
He was not good. I was watching that game, and I'm like, he got a couple targets, but he was not used the way he was last week. Anyway, I'm going with Jamal Williams versus the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Such a good one.
Oh, gosh, that wasn't that funny. My goodness.
14, 16.
Yeah, I was going to say 14.
I like 16.
You're going to say 14? 14 it is.
I just don't understand how you can go 14, 14, and 16 and then just be good with 14. Why not move it to 15?
No. Bradley, Jeremy, you're up. Running back start of the week.
I tried.
I went with the other Bills running back for my start of the week last week, and that was Devin Singletary.
Mr. Motor
Singletary. Top 16, he was 24. Did not have a great week either. My running back start of the week this week is going to be Najee Harris versus the Falcons.
That's a really good one. He was on my list as well.
Top 36.
I'll take it.
18. Yeah.
18's right.
Which is so sad that we have to do that. So my running back start of the week was Ken Walker. He needed to be top 11. He's currently at 8, so that's a hit so far. I'm going for it.
It's
not going
to happen. Can't say it. Miss.
I'm going with Austin Eckler versus the Las Vegas Raiders.
Wow. Big Bills here. You're going for the number one finish, huh?
Could be.
Top four.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That feels right.
I was going to be more mean than that, so we'll see.
Yeah, what were you going to say? What were you going to say, Jeremy? You say top 2?
I was going to say 3.
Okay. Let's go 3.
I'm keeping it at 4.
All right. My wide receiver start of the week last week was Terry McLaurin. He needed to get top 14, and he did not. My wide receiver
start of the week. Can you just please do it again for the third straight week? Yeah, Terry McLaurin in week 11 as well.
Not going to happen, so quit asking.
What do you think Amari he's been sucking? It might be on steady.
Amari Cooper versus Houston.
Okay. No.
Amari Cooper, welcome to Stash or Trash next week.
I need Cooper. Why? Good.
Why am I acting like I'm just like this Grim Reaper 14? Of... I won this last year.
13.
13.
12? Do I hear 12?
I hear
13 it is.
30.
It'll be interesting to see what he does with Deshaun. It'll be a very big week. So my wide receiver this last week was Chris Godwin. He is currently the wide receiver 4, need to be 18, so that's a hit. I'm going to go with Deebo Samuel versus the Miami Dolphins.
Deebo!
Well,
10, 11.
12 is the right number.
12, Jeremy?
12 is fine. My start of the week at the wide receiver position was Tyler Lockett. Need to be top 18. He just missed the cut.
Had a pretty good week, by the way. Like, it wasn't
had a good
wasn't
year.
Yeah. Wasn't a terrible pull.
Well,
not giving you a point, though.
That's okay. That's okay. But let it be known to the listeners. Solid pull. My wide receiver start of the week. You guys are not going to like it. Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson. Yep. There it is.
It's a great pull. Top 16.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Becker, you don't like that line? You don't like that line? That you don't
try to pull the matchup card and see what happens. You get 16, buddy. My wide receiver start of the week in week 12 was T. Higgins. Needed to be top 15. He's currently at 6. That's a hit. Week 13, my wide receiver start of the week is Christian Kirk versus the Detroit Lions. Had to think twice about it since Josh had Trevor Lawrence, but I'll do it.
Top 22.
Ooh. I would love that line if I were Brady.
Let's go 20.
I feel better about 20. What do you think, Becker?
20.
20 it is.
He misses this. We can have a talk. He's going to be a stash of trash.
I knew you were going to be pumped about that line. My tight end start of the week last week was Foster Moreau. He needed to get top 11 and he doubled that. So he was a miss.
No, he's 8.
He hit.
Oh,
he hit. He got a late touchdown.
Oh, okay, cool. I must not have refreshed mine. My mistake. And then my tight end start of the week this upcoming week is going to be Evan Engram versus Detroit, stacking with Lawrence.
One. Tight end one.
Tight end one.
And 8, 9, 10, 11, what? 12, 13.
You said tight end one.
Tight end one.
Oh, it's top 12.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought you meant the tight end one. You guys were like joking.
No,
I
100%. I was like, ha ha ha, ha. Guys, great job.
Oh, no, top 12.
And you guys were deadpanning it. I'm like, oh wow, good for you.
The looks that I got for saying 8, 9, 10 by those.
We were so confused.
All right, T.J. Hockenson was my start of the week. Caught a touchdown. He's top 5 tight end at this point. Probably a hit. I'm going David Njoku versus the Houston Texans.
Mr. Njoku. Top 10.
Top 5 because you stole mine.
I have concern with a different offense. A quarterback.
Same offense.
Yeah, whatever. 10 good?
10's good.
You don't get a say, Bradley.
There's
got to be 9, right?
Jesus.
No, he was 11.
My start of the week at the tight end position was Gerald Everett. we'll just leave it at that. My tight end start of the week for this week is going to be Dalton Schultz against the Indianapolis Colts.
Top 7.
Do 8.
8.
8.
I'm cool with that.
All right. Week 12, I had Mr. David Njoku himself. Needed to be top 11. He is currently at 7 with a sick one-handed catch. So that's a hit, hopefully. I'm going with George Kittle versus Miami for my tight end start of the week this week.
Interesting.
Top five.
Four, five. I don't know, Becker. What do you think? Four or five or something else?
I'm good with four. Let's do four.
Becker, four, what do you think?
Four is the right line.
Four it is, I guess.
He's just teasing.
That's an absolute terrible line.
What, like, Brady, what line were you expecting?
I mean, Kittle is...
I don't need the rationale.
Five or six.
So we're splitting hairs right now.
It's not going to happen. That's four.
You caught a touchdown late at the end of the game, and Foster Moreau went from 22 to 8. That we are not talking about splitting hairs with a tight end position.
We take those.
Anyways, whatever. He's going to be the tight end one. So we're good there. Let's do our ones got to go. So last week we did college wide receivers. We are doing college running backs that are draft eligible. We do not know if they will go into the draft, but these are, I would say, four of the top six that we're talking about here. Talking about Jahmyr Gibbs from Alabama, Sean Tucker from Syracuse, Tank Bigsby from Auburn, and Blake Corum from Michigan. Jeremy, since you're our running back guy, which one's got to go here for you?
I wanted to hear what you guys said first.
We want your expert advice. Okay. Josh, go ahead. Which one's got to go for you?
Sean Tucker, in my opinion. I think, I need to dive deep into the position more, but from what I've seen, Red lacks the physicality. He has the breakaway speed, but between the tackles might be an issue at the next level.
I love Sean Tucker. Blake Corum's got to go for me.
Same. Seems too small for me.
If I had to rank these, well, Jeremy, go ahead. Give us your ones that got to go.
It's Sean Tucker for me.
Okay. Well, I'll rank them for you. I'll go Jahmyr Gibbs 1, Sean Tucker 2, Tank Bigsby 3, Blake Corum 4.
Exactly my ranking as well. With mountain slide between 1 and 2, and 1 is Bijan Robinson.
Yes.
For all of our listeners.
Tank Bigsby has got to be one of the best running back names in the past couple of years. My goodness.
Tank.
Spectacular.
Hey, all Gibbs right. is really good, though.
He is.
He's really good.
Put him over Bijan this year and see what happens.
I just watched fireworks.
Oh,
it's not gonna happen.
You're gonna see steam coming out of Brady's ears if you do that. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of Fourth and a Mile. Thank you so much for joining us. Go deep. We'll see you.